Hello, 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 Power Kids, and welcome to another Power Kid podcast. Guys, every episode, it is my honor, privilege, and joy to bring you great conversations with great people from all over the world making great things for kids. I am your host, Phil Albritton, and I have a tremendous show for you today. I've got Leah Ringelstein on the line with me. Let me introduce you to her. She has a long background in education and supporting teachers. As co-founder of UClass, she helped teachers share lessons and classroom ideas across the globe. Now, as the director of impact at Zigazoo, she's on the front lines of the world's largest social media network for kids. Their goal is to bring out the best in humankind and create a positive social experience for children. And I will mention probably the hardest job on her resume. She's been a second and third grade teacher, which means she has absolute nerves of steel. Leo, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks, Phil. I'm so excited to be here and to be part of this really exciting conversation that you're weaving together with so many bright minds from around the kid world. And I have to say, I have three kids under seven, so I think this might top being a second and third grade teacher. three sons under seven, yeah.
Right.
Nerves of
titanium then. We'll upgrade that then.
I had to upgrade recently, yeah.
It's so fun. Thank you for that. Yeah, we're having a blast just bringing all these conversations together that revolve around the kid world, the toy world, the game world. And Zigazoo is growing and is becoming a big part of that. So we really want to dive into that. And I'm looking forward to that conversation. But we'll start where I always start. How did you become involved in the kids media industry in the first place?
Yeah, so I started as a teacher. As you know, I was a special educator, elementary school special educator, and that's where I met my now husband and co-founder. So we began in the classroom with kids and just had such a joy and a love for spending time there with kids, but also we got to see firsthand some of the struggles that go on in the education system with, you know, test-centered situations and also, you know, under-resourced neighborhoods. And we had all these ideas swirling around about how we can help support kids in developing social skills and having fun and trying to bring out their best selves, and ended up kind of thinking about how tech could solve some of these problems. So it really started in the classroom and then also came out of problems in our own life. For example, we had three kids and then they suddenly couldn't see their friends at the beginning of COVID. And so that gave us the kind of inspiration to make a safe social place, because we didn't really want them in the other social places that were available where tech could enable relationship building.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Your competitors, and the reason I think that you saw this white space is because there are some nasty things that happen on the other social media platforms. And let's just dive right into it. In the beginning, what was the white space that you saw for Zigazoo? What was your vision of Zigazoo? And I love that this has its roots in the classroom with kids, where we're thinking about kids, we're caring about kids, and we're wanting the best for them. So talk about that in those early conversations.
Yeah. So some of the things that the needs that we see kids have is having fun while they're learning, being able, like our developmental and educational experience taught us that project-based learning, where kids are kind of chasing a fundamental question and they're asking lots of questions and they're not being just fed information, is really empowering and motivating to kids. And then play-based learning, where they're trying things on and acting things out and really like singing, dancing, and playing within their learning journey. We recognize that those are so, so powerful for kids. And then we also recognize that kids need a place that's made for them, right? We could see, like, if I'm going to let my kid engage in an online dialogue, relationship, play, whatever it is, it needs to be a place that's safe for them on many levels, meaning it has only their peers and they're being guided in constructive and creative ways, but also it's only positive. So we're building self-esteem instead of deconstructing self-esteem, and they're only going to see things that kids are meant to see. So we saw all of those things kind of floating around and crystallize them into this one. We're like, what if there was a place where kids could play and we could direct and guide their play and inspire their play. But they're only, we know that when they walk away, they're going to feel good about themselves and they're only going to have seen things that are good for kids to see.
And that parents can trust. That's a huge component of this to me is, you know, my kids are on online or doing this or that. And I think about this often is like, who do I trust to put them in the hands of, you know, digitally for any amount of time? And I think that is super important, that reassurance that parents can have that this is a safe place. So let's talk about some of the things that you've built into Zigazoo to create that safe place, because there is almost this magnetism. There's almost this force that just wants to push these social media channels into a place where it's not kid friendly. And so I think you've got to erect walls to keep that out, and you have to be very purposeful about that. So tell me about early days of development. What are you thinking about? What are you putting in place to build that brand and that statement and that environment long term?
Yeah, so there are several layers, and it's so true. You're right. Like, we all see in our own lives as adults the way that social media can kind of prey on our worst instincts, right? You're like, oh my gosh, I have to look at that because that's so, there's so much fire there or so much danger, or I don't know, we're intrigued by these things, right? And there are algorithms that really utilize that and kind of ride that for engagement purposes. So we had to make some fundamental pillars which could protect kids from those kind of techniques. And one of them is humans only. So we make sure that there are no bots or troll farms or AI. Like, everyone has to show their face and every kid has to be verified with a parent beside them. So we know, like, you're a real kid and you have someone with you who supports your participation in this community. And so that's number one. And then we also had to construct algorithms that really let kids earn their reputation by being creative, by being positive. We have a positive only policy. So, like, kids can't comment on other kids' work in a way that would take down their self-confidence. So it's positive only, and we've found ways for kids to engage and give feedback that don't allow any of that kind of deconstructing of confidence. You can give a sticker, you can give a shout out, you can say, hey, great job, high five. And what that does for kids is allow them to feel confident enough and safe enough to take risks, because they're putting themselves out there. The way that Zigazoo works is a challenge is presented by either a kid or a celebrity or a media company or a toy company, and they provide a little bit of video and then a challenge, like, what's your favorite fidget? Or, like, can you make a music video to your favorite song? And then Zigazoo kids respond with their own video. So it's all this, like, showing your face and being held accountable for a positive sentiment. And so we set that tone, but then we also have moderation. So we recognize that even though it's a lot of work, we need a level of supervision, as you said, like these walls put up where we know that everything has been seen. So no one's going to put something on there that a child should not see. My kid's not going to walk away learning about something or having seen something that is not safe or healthy or positive for them. And so all of those kind of pieces put into place are how we build that culture. And some of them are tech-centered, and then some of them are the way that we guide and design the community. So kids and participants all know, like, this is what we're aiming for. It's fun, it's health, it's self-confidence, and you have to align with that if you want to be here.
You know, one of the things that keeps coming up, one of the statements that keeps coming up in your documentation and just what you write about, is this idea of an engagement at all cost scheme that some of the others have. And I think that is such a succinct and good way to put that. This idea that, hey, I can get likes if I steal a fire extinguisher from a school, right? Or I can damage property, and that's going to get me some reputation. That's going to get me some likes and some subscribers. Wow, that is really off base. And so, you know, wording it like that we're getting away from an engagement at all cost content scheme, I think that is so good. Well, and I love this idea about having the challenge aspect of Zigazoo. And I want to dive more into that and explain exactly what that means, that you're asking the participants to engage in these challenges. Because I think that sets parameters then too for the type of engagement. It's super fun, but it harkens back to our earlier conversation, which is kids learning and getting to know themselves, getting out into the world. It's that movement aspect. It's not just text only. There's no chance of being anonymous and not owning what you do. It's video based. And so talk a little more about that. I want to know more about the challenge aspect.
Yeah. So that really came from, that was our very, I'm laughing because I remember making our very first challenge. It was, can you make a volcano? And we were, that came really from teaching, because we were thinking like, if we want kids to make relationships in meaningful ways in this digital world, we have to give them something to do together, right? That's one way that they can really, kids learn through play, right? You go to the playground and you join each other on the monkey bars. You're doing something together and your relationship kind of comes from that interaction. So that was one piece of it. Another piece of it is the beauty that tech can provide, which is like exposure. It can bring the flamingos from the Phoenix Zoo into your house. It can bring LeBron James into your living room reading his book. And so these challenges give kids this awesome inspiration by bringing this content, this rich and amazing content into their world, and then asking them what you think. And what I love about that is like, it's beautiful for both people, right? It's beautiful for LeBron James to hear what a kid thinks about his book. And it's awesome for a kid to feel like he's talking to them. He's not just saying, listen to my book. He's saying, listen to my book. Tell me your dreams. And giving them both that validation and that open conversation about a kid's voice and a kid's choice and their thoughts. And I feel like as teachers and parents, we're always thinking like, how do we build their minds? How do we help them feel, you know, celebrated for their creative brilliance, encourage them to take risks and be inspired and share their wacky, weird little selves, you know, with each other. And these challenges are really the center of that. And one more note is something we've learned along the way is the most profound interaction we see is when kids pose the challenge. So we've created a whole opportunity for kids to be able to ask each other questions as well as these, you know, partners and celebrities and such. So most popular challenges we have are kids asking other kids to do things, you know, and that's so fun because they kind of naturally showed us like, that's our favorite kind of play.
Yeah, this is what kids do on the playground anyway, yeah. Right? They're challenging you. This is where the double dog dare and the triple dog dare come from. we know this. You know, it's so funny listening to you explain how Zigazoo works. That is what we were sold when we bought into social media to begin with, right? It was going to be this place to connect and positivity and bring people together and have conversations and feel like you're really being heard. And boy, have we got off, off from that in some scary directions. So it's so good to kind of hear that coming back out of the experiences that we've been in with social media, and here's Zigazoo coming, pulling those reins back and saying, hey, this is the way it should be and maybe should have always been. Right. I want to dive a little bit into your education background, because I'm wondering the way that Zigazoo sets up challenges and lets children make challenges for each other and kind of push each other to engage. Is that something that was born out of your experience in education? Is that something that you saw happen and develop in the classroom? Or is it something that from Zigazoo, you think there may be a possibility of porting that into an educational and classroom environment? I think that's a great way to learn. So which came first, chicken or the egg?
Yeah, well, my husband and I both had the opportunity to see inside of several different schools. And in some of the schools, we really felt the reign of a test-centered education system, right? Where kids were being given information and then taught how to regurgitate. And unfortunately, that tone remains in many classrooms, you know, and teachers have amazing ideas for how to make that more fun and engaging and empowering, but it is really, it's heavy. It's heavy in a lot of schools. And that expectation for performance and for its teaching to the test is alive. And so that was the frustrating side of it. And then in other schools and classrooms and school cultures, we got to see the other side of that, where that teachers were supported with pedagogy like project-based learning and training and leadership that allowed them to say, like, let's not just think about how this is going to come out of kids, but let's think about their journey along the way. And, you know, research shows us that that one actually creates better results, but, you know, we still have a way to go to get the general intention of our education system to kind of acknowledge that. But many school settings do follow that opportunity for kids to ask questions and to present to an authentic audience and to follow their passions and their creativity. So we had training and exposure to both and recognized that maybe agnostic technology can be a good role model. I know it's a good role model for me as a parent. Like sometimes I'll ask my kids a question like, oh, how long can you hold that book on your head? And they'll be like, is that a Zigazoo question? And like, kind of, because it does train me to think about more fun and creative questions to guide you in your play. So yes, it is. You know what I mean?
Right. But also, I just really want to know.
Right.
We kind of challenge our kids and push them, and they challenge back. Well, how long can you do it?
Yeah.
They're the best
question askers, right? They're the ones that have 10 million questions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and every question, there is an educational element behind that. They're asking because they want to know, because they want to dive into their world. They want to, you know, they want to see and challenge their friends and see, you know, there's a little element of human nature and one-upsmanship in this too. Let me see if I can beat dad at, you know, X, mm-hmm. Y, or Z. And I think that's a part of it too. And that can be very, very fun. So you've recently announced a partnership with the MBA, and I want to talk about that. And then I want to broaden the conversation into partnerships with toy companies and other, you know, children's manufacturers and how that works. Cause I know my listeners will be very interested in that. But tell me about your partnership with the MBA and, you know, future fans of basketball.
Yeah. So we have some really amazing investor relationships, including the NBA, Serena Williams, Serena Ventures, Jimmy Kimmel, Charlie and Dixie Emilio. Like we have a lot of amazing and inspiring people who are like on board with this mission. And that's such an amazing compliment and challenge. And with the MBA, we have had the opportunity to share challenges that ask kids about, you know, their favorite athletes, and we've done some contests where kids can win some awesome things. And that's another part of our challenge element. There's like a layer where there are contests where you can win things for your most creative and interesting answer. And so, yeah, it's been a really wonderful way to think about, you know, kids are early fans. Like a really great thing about Zigazoo is it is a training ground for so many things: digital citizenship, creativity, sharing your voice, and all these things. And with the MBA, it's this opportunity to really encourage those young fans to share all of their joy and enthusiasm and to look around. You know, Zigazoo spans a very broad audience. It's in 5 million homes and counting. And so kids can kind of look out and see their community. You know, if you share your favorite sport, NBA team or your favorite athlete, and then you follow that thread, and you can see kids come from so many different backgrounds who share that perspective or who like someone else. It's like that beginning of that fire, you know, and that passion and love for sports. And this gives kids a place where they can share that in an age appropriate way.
Yeah. Find your people. Absolutely. Yeah. I love the way that you described it as a digital training ground. Wow. You know, that's super important right now, again, from a parent perspective. So talk about how brands interact with you? How do they do business with you? So toy brands, character brands, animation, how do they partner with Zigazoo to reach that audience? Because I know that's a part of it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have a really amazing sales team that is in communication with organizations that want to share with this population. And we work with them to create challenges that are going to inspire and engage kids and expose them to what they have to offer. So, you know, Apple TV shows a trailer for a new kids show, and then they ask a question once again, that active, you're not just sitting there watching it, you're going to stand up and talk about it, or you're going to, you know, act something out. They give kids a chance to kind of build the relationship by being active and sharing their voice. And then kids share their love, you know, they give their perspectives and they share their love, and it builds exposure. And it's a really great way for kids to get exposure and become interested by things that these companies have to offer. And it's a great way for the companies to see the faces of their fans and hear the voices of the people who will be, you know, playing right along with them. So, yeah, we have lots of people who share new toys or, you know, clothing lines or things like this it's not a directly commercial way. And we're very thoughtful about how we bring that relationship to bear for kids so that they're just really having fun with this content and these concepts. And then the choice is theirs, you know, about where they go with it. But, yeah, we've had Schleich and Mattel and Amazon and all kinds of companies share their, you know, their toys and their good stuff and their ideas. And it kind of feels like a personal relationship. You know, we recently had Athleta come on and share, you know, we have so many kids who love to dance and do gymnastics and do, you know, athletic things. And they're sharing all of that with Athleta Girl, you know, and that's like such a cool two-way conversation.
Yeah, it's a great way to look at it. It's experiencing the product rather than just being advertised to, which I think is very, very valuable and can build, you know, long-term brand loyalty. If you're introduced to a product like that, it's almost word of mouth in some ways. That's more organic than a straight, you know, advertisement or commercial or a video in that way, which also, you know, begs the question. I mean, there's all kinds of concerns that the parents have about safety and, you know, COPPA compliance and just general, you know, safety online, their kids on video on this platform. Talk about what you're doing to keep the kids safe, to maintain compliance, and speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, so we're KidSafe certified. So KidSafe is a safe harbor with the Federal Trade Commission. So they audit us and make sure that we fulfill a list of requirements to verify our platform as secure for kids. Some of those things are a verification of, like, we do a video verification. We have several modes of verification to prove that a child has a consenting adult with them, because we have two platforms now. We recently aged up, recognizing that we had an older population of youth that wanted a different tone and needed a different set of features. So that's 13 plus, but our 12 and under, which is our original platform, has a set of verification requirements to really make sure that we're kids only and that kids are safe there in terms of the population that they're engaging with. And then the second part is moderation. So it's a human in the loop moderation process to make sure that content is age appropriate before it is ever seen on platform. And so that's a very intricate and well thought out journey that we have created, recognizing that we couldn't just make a social media for space for kids, put them all in there and say, go. You know, we really still needed careful, thoughtful eyes on all the content, because content, video content is powerful, right? These things, these ideas are powerful, and that's the beauty of it, but also the danger of it. And that's why we work so hard to make sure that we're really just supporting the best that social media has to offer, because we're fully aware of the other side. And we know that that's not what kids need.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been great to watch you grow, to watch you expand. And yeah, again, that 13 and older segment now that is capturing a larger demographic. I think that's great. What do you want to say to the listeners? Who do you want to reach out to? Who should be involved with Zigazoo? What would you like to say to the listeners?
I want to invite first families and kids who want to enjoy playing together and making content together, and parents of kids who really want to be involved in a social media experience, but who have concern about, you know, how that's constructed, to check Zigazoo out. Because first and foremost, the bigger and more diverse and engaged our community is, the better our work in the world can be, right? And I really just want to invite families to come and join us. It's so fun and interesting. And then I would love to invite toy companies and people who, and children's media, and anybody who has great things to say to kids, to also reach out. You can look at our website and reach out to our sales team to join the conversation by providing really awesome content to inspire these kids. Because the dream is that social media moving forward, when these kids, like, to keep them safe here and now and engaged and having fun, but also to grow them as great digital citizens so they can be a light moving forward in our world and share that positivity and that responsibility when they, you know, when they grow up.
That's great. I love the forward looking aspect of it, that maybe we can turn some of this this toxic social media environment around. I really love that. Leah, this has been a ton of fun. Thank you for coming on and sharing. I just really love what you're building. I love that it was built in the classroom with that kind of care and concern for kids. So how can individuals, families, but also toy companies and manufacturers reach out and get involved? Where do you want me to send them?
Yeah, thanks, Phil. It's been quite a pleasure as well. I had a great time thinking through your interesting questions. You can download Zigazoo at the App Store and also on your Android phone to use the app. And then if you want to learn more, or if you're a partner, you can go to kids.zigazoo.com. That's for the kids app. And for 13 plus, you can go to just zigazoo.com to learn more.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for coming on today. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Phil.
And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you for tuning in to the Power Kid podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Leave 5 stars and a written review, as this helps us connect with more listeners just like you. Once you're subscribed, you'll be able to check out the other shows from Adventure Media and Events. And a big thank you to them. They are the publishers of the Toy Book, the Toy Insider, and the Pop Insider. We've got you covered on all toy industry news and events. This show is produced by Power Kid Design and Development. We are a full-service toy and game development studio serving the industry for more than 20 years. We provide illustration, branding, packaging, sculpting, prototyping, consulting, and much more. Check out powerkiddesign.com or email me at phil@powerkiddesign.com. Now go out and make something great, and remember, you are creative because you were created. God bless, and I'll see you next episode.